fee schedule at your January 11th meeting. At that time, we noted that the current fee schedule was implemented in 2006, and fees have not been adjusted since then. The current filing fees are inadequate and do not nearly recover LAFCO's costs for the staff time processing proposals, and the proposed fees are consistent with fees assessed by other LAFCOs. After that meeting and at your direction, we transmitted copies of the proposed schedule and the associated staff report to the county, which was the CEO and Director of Regional Planning, all 88 cities, city managers and planning directors, and the general managers of all 53 independent special districts. In addition, we posted the proposed filing fee schedule and the supporting time and materials study to the LAFCO website in January. Representatives of three cities and one special district provided emailed comments, copies of which are in your staff report. There was no objection to the proposal, only provided additional information as requested. One city representative asked that the commission consider implementing the fee increase over a period of years, rather than as opposed to the effective date of July 21st, 2023 recommended by staff. Please note that we are aware of three or four proposals that are in the planning stages, and one more I learned of yesterday. You have my assurance that we are doing everything we can to work with those applicants to expedite the filing prior to that July 1 deadline. Staff recommends you approve the draft resolution making determinations, direct staff to notify representatives of the county, the cities, and the special district of the new schedule, direct us to post the schedule to the LAFCO website on or around July 1st, direct us to adjust the fees annually by the amount of increase in the consumer price index, and to amend the fee schedule accordingly each year on July 1st, and to notify the county, the cities, and the special districts. And finally, direct staff to conduct a thorough review and analysis of all existing calculations of tasks, hours expended, and burden labor rates to identify the then current costs and make a recommendation to the commission if any changes to the schedule are warranted beyond the annual CPI changes every 5 years, beginning in July, August of 2028. And that concludes my staff report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion?
Call the roll.
Fees, you should say something like why we're doing it. Why is the staff recommending the change?
Staff is recommending the change because we have not adjusted fees since 2006. So it's been 16 years. We are hoping to install some regularity of the process by having an annual CPI adjustment. Most importantly, your fees range right now from $2,500 to $7,500, and we figured the average cost is over $10,000. So we want to be certain that we are recovering all of those costs moving forward. The fees also, because we have not made an adjustment in such a long time, we looked at a cohort group of other LAFCOs, and what is proposed is reasonably similar to all of those other cohorts. There is one exception statewide, and that LAFCO is having severe financial challenges. They're about the only one that would be kind of out of that range. So it's really intended to recover costs and have a more regular system of fee adjustments every year based on the CPI.
Discussion?
Yes.
These numbers will hold.
Yes, I am.
Just a real question. Back at any time, circumstances.
You absolutely do. And I'm glad you asked that question because we did make an adjustment in the proposed budget you're going to see for next year, reflecting kind of a different number for anticipated fees because we do expect it will be higher. One of the important things to keep in mind is when somebody files an application, they stand to benefit from that. Although fees are a relatively small component of your overall budget, to the extent you are recovering costs, those individual applicants are covering those costs as opposed to spreading out those costs amongst all the cities, the county, and all the special districts. There's really only two revenue sources from LAFCO. It's the annual assessments, which everybody pays, and the filing fees, which individual applicants pay. So we believe it would be much more fair to take this approach.
My question was simply whether that potentially lowers the assessments then to the cities and special districts because there's more revenue coming in from fees.
In the longer term, I think it will prevent increases because unfortunately with our budget, there are two or three items that just kill us every year on budget. And it's really increased pension costs, increased insurance costs for employees, and increased insurance costs for retirees. If it weren't for that, I would say yes, but I think more likely it will just allow us to sort of keep the fees at a constant level, as we're actually recommending later today for next year.
Thank you.
Questions? If not, please call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Aye.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Chair Deere?
Yes. 7B.
Morning, Commissioners. Thank you for making the drive. And it's good to see everyone in person. Before us today is the proposed draft budget for the following fiscal year, which is fiscal year 2023-2024. Staff is recommending that the commission adopt the draft budget for fiscal year 2023-2024 as shown on the screen above, and direct staff to mail a copy and or email to the county, the cities, and the independent special districts. This is the first required public hearing. A second public hearing will be April 12th, where the final recommended budget will be considered. The overall budget proposes a negligible increase of 1.4% over the current budget. Although LAFCO is experiencing increased costs outside of our control, as Paul mentioned a little bit briefly, such as employer pension contributions, scheduled COLAs, increased insurance premiums, increased cybersecurity and IT support, and increased Cal-LAFCO association costs. And considering all of that, staff is not proposing a change to the LAFCO apportionment collected in comparison to the one collected the current fiscal year. Your staff report includes the draft proposed budget as well as a narrative which describes any significant changes from the current fiscal year budget. Again, this is the first of two required public hearings, and staff will report back concerning any input from the county, the cities, or the independent special districts at your April 12th meeting. Staff at this time is recommending that you open the public hearing, receive public comments, and close the public hearing. Approve the proposed draft budget for fiscal year 2023-2024. Direct staff to forward the proposed budget to the county, the cities, and the independent special districts of Los Angeles County, and set April 12, 2023 for hearing on the adoption of the recommended final budget for fiscal year 2023-2024. Does the commission have any questions?
No, I'll declare the hearing open. And is there any public comment? None? We will then entertain the motion as described by staff.
I just had one question.
Sure, go ahead.
This go back to the previous slide. So bottom right, 1,776,843, that's the budget?
Yes.
Wondering if someone was attempting to be patriotic by having the first four digits be 1776.
Good catch. It was coincidence.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to say that I think it's a good job you guys did in terms of keeping it really even under below the CPI. This is amazing you did this, so good job.
Comments? Please call the roll on the motion.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. There was no motion and second.
Mitchell will move.
Sorry, there's no motion.
Finley will second.
All right, Mitchell has made the motion, and who made the second?
Finley second.
Oh, Finley second. We'll give it to Margaret. It is Women's Day, you know. Any other comments? Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Aye.
Commissioner Chair Zier.
Yes, that motion passes. Item 7C.
This is annexation number 21-02 to the Los Angeles County Water District Number 40, Antelope Valley. This is a proposed annexation of approximately 6.58 acres of uninhabited territory located north of Eliopolis Ranch Drive between Yanni Court and Marina Court, all in the city of Palmdale. The affected territory is vacant land being developed to include six single-family dwellings. All involved agencies have adopted the necessary property tax transfer resolution. Proper notice was published, mailed, and posted online, and we did not receive any significant comments from landowners, registered voters, nor the public. The staff report includes the proper determinations for the proposed annexation, and the CEQA clearance is a mitigated negative declaration adopted by the city of Palmdale. All criteria have been met for the commission to waive protest proceedings. However, should written opposition be received by the commission prior to the conclusion of this hearing, the matter should be referred to staff to schedule protest proceedings. Staff recommends that you open the public hearing and receive testimony. There being no further testimony, close the hearing. And there being no written opposition submitted by landowners or registered voters at the conclusion of the hearing, waive the protest proceedings pursuant to Government Code Section 56663, adopt the resolution making determinations, approving and ordering annexation number 2021-02 to LA County Water District Number 40.
All right, is there a motion to approve?
Finley, move it.
Finley makes the second. Is that okay?
Fine.
Any other comments? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Aye.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Yes, that motion passes. Now on, there are no protest hearing schedules. We're now on item number nine, other items. 9A.
This is a presentation for the mid-year budget status report. The purpose of the mid-year budget status report is to provide the commission with the overview of expenditures and revenues as of December 31st, 2022, in comparison to the adopted budget. And this was an item that was previously scheduled on the February agenda that we rolled forward to today's date. Based on actual mid-year revenues and expenditures, projections are made through the end of the fiscal year and in anticipation of drafting the fiscal year 2023-24 budget. Staff anticipates that the expenditures for the current fiscal year will be approximately 4.4 below the commission adopted budget. Staff projects year-end savings in rent and professional services, as is shown on the spreadsheet above. Significant rent savings are associated with the approval of a lease extension for LAFCO's current office space that was entered into June of 2021. The lease provides for a credit of common area charges for half of the current fiscal year. Conference and travel expenditures are anticipated to be higher than budget due to the increased participation at the CalAFCO annual conference and staff workshop. And these are the first series of events hosted by CalAFCO since the pandemic started and everything shut down in 2020. So although these projected expenses are above what is budgeted, significant cost savings were achieved in the prior fiscal years. Professional services are expected to be below budget by approximately 25% due to municipal service review contract savings. As noted in the budget spreadsheet, filing fee revenue is projected to be 20% lower than the budgeted amount. Filing fee revenue is always an estimate. Given that staff has no control of the filing of proposals further between now and June 30th, that revenue may change substantially. Should the commission approve the proposed filing fee schedule, which it has, the fee increase would not take effect until next fiscal year, potentially resulting in applicants filing applications in advance of the fee increase and thereby increasing filing fee revenue in the current fiscal year. At mid-year, the county auditor controller's office has collected 100% of the fiscal year 2022-2023 local agency apportionment from all of the local agencies. At this time, staff is recommending that the commission receive and file the mid-year budget status report for fiscal year 2022-2023. Thank you. Does the commission have any questions on this item?
There are no questions. Is there a motion to receive and file a report? You have a question?
Finley.
I make a motion. Anthony. Commissioner Bell makes the motion. And who's? Margaret Finley.
I seconded her.
We got that, Margaret. Thank you. Any discussion? No discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Chair Deere?
Yes, and the motion passes. Next is B, right? 9B?
Mr. Chair, with your consent, I know sometimes Commissioner Lee has to leave to get to city council meetings at 10 o'clock, so I don't want to lose him. Would it be okay if I brought up one housekeeping item before he may have to depart? For your meeting next month in April, we have two items which may take a considerable amount of time. One is your interviews of finalists for the alternate public member position. There are usually 5 to 6 candidates. They take about 6 to 8 minutes per candidate. So you generally need to allow a good 45 minutes to an hour. There is also a proposed annexation for which we expect, I wouldn't call it substantial public testimony, but we may have 6 to 8 people testifying. So that item as well is probably a good 30 plus minutes. So your choices would be to keep both of those items on next month's agenda. You would probably want to take the annexation item first because it was filed in over a year ago. But it means that meeting would probably go till 10:30 or 10:45. The only other option before you would be to postpone the interviews of the alternate public member finalists to your May meeting. It means that person would be seated a month later than expected. But before, while we have Commissioner Lee here, I just wanted to raise that issue and ask if there is some direction from the commission for staff to proceed with the agendas for the next couple months accordingly.
Suggest that we ask those who may be impacted, like Commissioner Lee, what his preferences are. Commissioner Mitchell or anybody who may have to leave early, I'm prepared to stay in however long it takes to get it done, but be my suggestion.
Form has been issued in council, so I can't just openly say that I can push that time back. So if we can move one of the items over to another meeting, that's possible to accommodate time.
This is at the discretion of the commission. It's your call.
So that I would suggest that. Then.
So that we move the candidate interviews to
yes.
The May meeting. Okay. Thank you.
I'm fine with it. Fine with it.
How many candidates? You said how many candidates?
Typically, right now there are 11 candidates. You typically narrow it to 5 or no more than 6.
Okay. And there's a process to narrow it. I know before we had a subcommittee.
Yeah, there'll be a later item on the agenda today for Chair Deere to appoint a subcommittee, and then they would review it and screen it.
You're not eligible.
I know. Yeah, I was just wanting a process. Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's helpful. If there's a consensus, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. I'm on the board to postpone the one item you discussed.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, a future issue, as you well know, May 10th is a conflict with the Spring Aqua Conference. So, being I know I'm a Region 8 representative, I won't hold to that schedule.
Commissioner Lewis, you would, if you are willing, have the option to participate in this meeting virtually from the Aqua meeting if you chose to. I don't know if you could break away for an hour or two from the Aqua meeting to be here.
I have to see what if the facilities do.
Okay. But for the most part, we should plan that you may not be here for the May 10th meeting, correct? Okay. Thank you for diverging from the agenda for that. I appreciate it.
Item 9B.
Yes, 9B is the mid-year investment report. The purpose of the mid-year investment report is to apprise the commission of the interest and earnings received as of 12/31 of 2022 in comparison to the adopted budget. LAFCO has received substantial interest earnings related to funds held in the county treasury, resulting from an upward rate of return trend. At mid-year, the rate of return was approximately 3.14%. At its lowest, it was barely less than a quarter of a percent. Interest income from the county treasury is expected to be significantly above budget. In addition, LAFCO receives earnings from the California Employers Retirement Benefit Trust Fund at a rate of return of 0.17%. As of the writing of the staff report, January 25th of 2023, the SERPT account balance was approximately $630,000. And at this time, staff is recommending that the commission receive and file the mid-year investment report for fiscal year 2022-2023. Questions?
Is there a motion to receive and file?
Finley, move it.
Finley, you got the second. Is that okay?
Works for me.
All right. So we have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marisch?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Aye.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Chair Dear?
Yes. And item is received and filed. Item 9C.
Item 9C is the Procurement and Reporting Policy Annual Report for calendar year 2022. As required by your adopted commission policy, this is our annual report documenting all contracts with outside contracts and vendors for last calendar year. Compared to the report a year ago, there are two significant changes. There was a contract renewal with Quadient, which is formerly NeoPost, for a new postage machine, as well as a new contract with Paychex, a payroll services vendor. They are the successor to ADP, our prior payroll vendor. Other than that, there are no changes from the prior year. Staff recommends that the commission receive and file the Procurement and Reporting Policy Annual Report for calendar year 2022.
Is there a motion to receive and file?
So moved, Mirosh.
Second?
Finley, second.
Commissioner Bell made the second, I believe.
I can honestly, and Don, I can't hear everybody. Like, I can hear Paul, I can hear John, I can hear you, but I can't hear other people.
We're the only ones worth listening to. That's okay.
It is the year of the woman. You should be hearing the women as well.
Well, I hear Holly.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Margaret. Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair?
Aye. The motion passes. We're going to 9D, alternate public member recruitment.
Directed by the commission and at its January meeting, staff has posted and advertised a notice of vacancy for the alternate public member position. Also on January 11th, 2023, the notice of vacancy was posted on the commission's website. Also, a press release was issued announcing the vacancy, and subsequently the county distributed the press release to its media organizations. On January 12th, 2023, copies of the notice of vacancy were emailed to representatives of the County of Los Angeles, the cities and independent special districts of Los Angeles County, members of the Los Angeles Cities Neighborhood Councils, the Southern California Association of Governments, and the Regional Council of Governments. In addition, on January 12th, copies of the vacancy were mailed by U.S. Postal Services to representatives of town councils within the unincorporated areas of Los Angeles counties and the Chambers of Commerce. On January 30th, the notice of vacancy was also adopted, also posted in the county libraries. The deadline to submit an application is this Monday, March 13th. And as of today, there have been 9 applications filed for this. The recommended action today is for the commission to authorize the chair to appoint 4 members of the commission to an ad hoc committee to screen the initial round of alternate public member applicants. Direct staff to agendize the ad hoc committee meeting to identify a group of no more than 8 finalists and make recommendations for consideration by the remainder of the commission. Direct staff to agendize the interview finalized for the commission meeting of Wednesday, May 10th of 2018, and appoint an alternate public member at the commission's June meeting.
Do we need a motion to empower the chair to make the appointments? I guess we should.
Need a motion to receive.
I'll make the motion, Don.
All right, Margaret makes the motion to, that we have this activity as described. Is there a second?
Mitchell, second.
Mitchell, seconds. All right. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, it would be appropriate for you to name the members of the ad hoc committee up to 4 members.
Right. Well, I want to make the motion first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pass. Please call the roll on the motion. Chair, all this power. Margaret?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marisch?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Chair?
Yes. And now, Paul, would you refresh my memory? Who were the people we approached or are discussing?
I believe, Mr. Chair, your intent, you can appoint up to 4. You wanted to appoint Commissioner Matthews as one of your special district members, Commissioner Finley as a city member, and Commissioner Barger as one of the supervisor members. You could appoint one other member if you chose. For all of those candidates, all of those parties, just so they know, there would be 1 meeting, which would be a virtual meeting, which staff would arrange around their schedules.
See, anyone else would like to serve on the committee? Pay is not too high. Do we need, will three be enough?
3 is sufficient, yes.
Right, I will therefore make the appointment as you described.
Thank you.
Chair, is that a just a general agreement?
Well, the motion was to give me the power to make the appointment, and I think.
And I so move.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Described, I have. Yes.
Apologize, Mr. Chair. I have to.
No, we have
that.
No, thank you so much. We are not losing a quorum.
Thank you. Have a good meeting. All right, we are then. Item 10, legislation.
10A is your legislative update. It addresses bills which may be of interest to the commission. And just a note before we move on to a motion or discussion, I think I'm going to move the legislative update if there is no objection to the consent agenda. You could always pull it if there is a question about anything on there. We would keep a legislative item at 10A so that if there is any items for which we are asking you to take a position, that would be discussed in the normal order of business. With that, Steph recommends you receive and file the legislative update.
Can I make a suggestion for a future? With the change in the emergency status now and the requirements for in-person attendance, there are issues, not necessarily for us. I'm thinking of City Selection Committee, which actually chooses some of the members who are here. And I know Gerard's not a fan of it, but City Selection, I can tell you, is something that solely appoints members to library boards and that sort of thing. Getting a physical quorum there is almost an impossibility, and it would actually gum up the works. We've seen, I happen to be the chair of the County City Selection Committee, or by default, and in the past, as Margaret Finley will say, we've had to go to golf courses to try and get people to get a bare quorum. At a recent meeting that we did via Zoom, for to pick an AQMD representative. It wasn't the whole county, it wasn't 88 cities, but it was something like 45. We had almost 90% participation. So I would urge us to support legislation that would allow for groups like a city selection that literally come from all over the county to allow us to meet via Zoom to get that done. I can see it's different for council meetings and that sort of thing. But as said, there is pending legislation out there. The League of Cities is working on it. I think Assemblyperson Pacheco has a bill there that's sort of a placeholder. But I think it would be important because, as said, it could otherwise impact our ability if city selection is rendered, I won't say impotent, but makes it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get appointments. It could make it difficult when the time comes for us to have appointments to get it done. And it would be in our interests to support that, I would suggest.
John, if that's a motion, I'll second it.
I'd like to hear, though, from Gerard, because I know Gerard has been the biggest vocal opponent of, you know, of remote work, but also remote meetings.
Well, no. So let me clarify that. Not remote meetings, remote work.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I was opposed to remote work, because it affects the economy downstream.
Okay.
So when people don't go to their offices, you don't buy coffee, you don't park in the parking lots, you don't. So people downline, okay, those less affected that can afford the financial waves of things are highly affected. So I just want to clarify that.
Okay, so in this
case, Please let me finish. I was always in support of remote meetings. And I said that before at a previous council meeting, primarily because we need to be able to include people that can't drive here. I don't live that far from here, and it took me almost an hour to get here. And if we don't have more increased public participation, I think that's detrimental to us. So that, I just want to make sure there's clarity on that.
So,
thank you.
So you'd be supportive of allowing?
Well, I would like to know a little bit more about city selection and who actually they are, because I want to make sure communities of color are included in those selection items. So
city selection,
I would want to have more information about that before I would be able to vote on it.
So city selection is simply all of the 88 cities. And for example, they vote to pick the MTA members. And it's divided up into corridors. So I'm in the corridor of Englewood. We have Mayor Butts as our representative. Corridor picks a representative at city selection, and then city selection, the whole county ratifies that. So each city, all of the 88 cities, except LA, for example, when it comes to picking a metro representative, because LA has direct representative, has representation. And as said, at the last AQMD meeting, almost all of the cities were able to participate. It was remote, and you know, every city from A, Agoura Hills, to W, Whittier, have the representatives, and they were all able to participate.
I like the idea, but again, I want to find out more information, because we know that in certain instances, people that don't know these processes aren't included in that. And so city selection is now beyond just those that are elected officials or those that are participating at a higher level in the process, and we don't get down to actually some of the members. I want to make sure that that's actually on the table. So I'd like to have more information about it before I would actually move on that issue.
Okay, but
I just don't know anything about it, so I can't.
We would certainly be happy, commissioners, to put something on the agenda for next month. I don't want to veer too far into substance, but we can come up with some recommendations. And in response to Commissioner Mirisch's suggestion, and I think for Commissioner McCallum and others, we can provide some background on what the City Selection Committee is and how it has worked. I would note that very much in the weeds is something called the Independent Special District Selection Committee, which does one thing. It appoints new special district voting members to LAFCO. So it's very, very specialized, and that is allowed to be done by mail and in some instances email. City Selection Committee is much broader because they do a lot more appointments. But we can include some background on what they do and how that works with some type of recommendation, Commissioner Mirisch, to kind of move that discussion along. And we will put that on next month's agenda if the commission is okay with that.
Get it.
And I think as part of the City Selection Committee, I think it's a great idea. And Gerard, I'm glad you brought it up and you want to know more about it. Because frankly, there are a lot of people that don't know much about city selection. But as John Mirisch pointed out, yes, I did drive to the Arcadia Golf Course to get Roger Chandler off the golf course to take him to the meeting in South Pasadena. Yes, I have barred the door once we had enough people in there until we could get the people selected. So we go to great lengths to try to get enough people there, because I don't even know what a quorum is. What's a quorum now, John?
So it depends, but for certain things, you need to have a majority of cities in terms of the numbers, but also a majority of weighted population. And that's not just as a quorum, that's to elect somebody. So if there's a split vote, if only, you know, you barely get a quorum and there's a split vote, that may not be enough to actually get somebody elected, because it's not a majority of the people who show up who you need to have to elect an MTA member or now a La Casa member. It's a majority of cities and a majority of weighted population of either the sector or of the entire county.
Okay, and that's, again, and then many times what will happen is you'll call somebody and they say, okay, I'll be down in 10 minutes. Well, it's 20 minutes, and then somebody says, I got to leave, I got to get to something else. And literally, we have barred the doors and said, no, you can't leave. We really have to have you here, because otherwise, all the people that showed up and are there, they've been waiting for an hour or so, it's like, well, this was a waste of your time. We don't get to vote on any of this stuff anyway. So that's the reason, Gerard. But I mean, I understand what you're saying, too.
And I will say this, that nobody obviously planned COVID, but over the past couple of years where it's been allowed, it has worked well. There's been more participation, not a lot by the public, just because this is sort of, you know, there's not a lot of public participation in LAFCO unless people are directly impacted either. But as said, I think it's important because it chooses members for library boards, for MTA, now for La Casa, and for AQMD, for example. So it does pick city representatives, and the only people who are eligible to serve are elected officials. And elected officials are the only people who can vote on city selection. And it's actually run out of here. There's staff here. Cesar Hernandez runs it here at the advisors and does outreach to every one of the cities to make sure they're aware of it, that they know about it, and hopefully participate. So as said, I can say that it's worked, and this isn't just some theoretical thing. They certainly, city selection picks some of the members of LAFCO, and so it is in our interests, I believe, to see to it that that works smoothly. And as said, I also agree that there's also the other issue of vehicle miles traveled. You've got people from 88 cities that are coming together somewhere, wherever they are, to just do a vote that they could have done by Zoom. Let's look at the environmental impact.
Century. That's when I was mayor, actually. A century. We always had the selection committee meeting as part of the League of Cities monthly dinner meeting. We went to the dinner on a regular basis, and they'd a brief selection committee meeting if necessary.
And I went to the last league, which was actually at the Dorothy Chandler across the street. And you know, it was a nice turnout, but it was nowhere near what you would perform. Again, I think people just are, if they don't have to, in some cases it's great for us to get together, but you know, you just have a lot of people who maybe don't want to, because our county is a very big county, don't want to drive all that distance, even if it's at a centrally located location or in a great location like the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion. So I know that's how we used to do it, and anyway, if anyone has questions, Gerard, we're happy to talk
offline. I'd love to get a little bit more information about it, and if there's some demographic information as well in terms of who they've been appointed, I'd love to have that information. Thank you.
Yes, please.
It occurs to me as I listen to the conversation that it's really two different issues. It's who's recruited, who knows about it to participate. And the second question is, than the how in terms of engaging in the meeting. So I completely agree with you about how do we and how are we informed about who knows about it. And with that, I feel that allowing for remote participation really opens it up for people who otherwise are prohibited by transportation, childcare, the hours that they work. And so I think the outreach is one issue, and then the how you participate once we expand the outreach is something different. So I would support, I am in supportive of continuing to use virtual meetings just because I've seen the expansion of people who are able to participate, for people to not have to navigate coming downtown and pay the exorbitant parking. You know, we are continuing to do a hybrid. People can come in person and testify and participate by phone. And we're allowing for both because I think it's just expanded who gets to participate in government.
We are receptive to what you're talking about, and we will, I would ask that there would, you would need a motion and a vote to both receive and file the legislative update. I would just say with the amendments to direct us to bring something back on this issue next month.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Bell. Second. Commissioner Bell. Any other discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Yes, and the motion passes. Thank you. Go on now to 11, Commissioners Report. Are there any reports to be given by commissioners? All right, we'll go on to number 12, Executive Officer.
Just a few things under the Executive Officer Report. You have a written report, which, like the Ledge Report, I think I'm going to move to the consent agenda and just do verbal at this point. This is a friendly reminder for you to file your Statement of Economic Interest form no later than Monday, April 3rd, 2023. For any of you who file electronically with the FPPC, please make sure that we also get a copy. Either you can email or mail that to us. That would be helpful. Also, given that state law now allows for commissioners to participate remotely, as you saw today with Commissioner Finley, the Three Valleys Municipal Water District, which got the law passed to allow this, they've actually created a form for their members to use, which makes it real easy. You check a box, you write in a quick sentence. We're going to modify that form and distribute it to all of you. And I'm going to put something on the agenda very early on so that if there are any such requests, the commission, unfortunately or otherwise, the commission is the one who has to decide to allow one of your colleagues to participate remotely. So we will put that first in the agenda as a placeholder. So before there are any other votes, you can allow someone. In many months, there may not be someone, but it's just, we want to sort of make it an easy process for all of you. I appreciate, and I just did want to add, I appreciate Commissioner McCallum's comments about the distinction between remote meetings and remote works. We had a first world problems crisis in our office this last month when the Starbucks that has been on the first floor of our building since we moved in closed down. I can assure you there's a lot of unhappy folks who have not yet discovered where the other nearest Starbucks is. So that is a reflection. You know, Commissioner McCallum, we've noticed since COVID, and even now I think we're mostly post-COVID, the parking in our garage is probably down about 30%. So we do see those impacts both with Starbucks and some other vacancies in our neighborhood. And with that, staff would recommend that you receive and file the written and verbal Executive Officer Report.
So moved.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Aye.
Chair?
Yes, and the report are received and filed. Public comments? Any public comments?
Doug, is there anyone online? There is not. So your next item would be future meetings, Mr. Chair.
Listed there, April 12th, May 10th, and June 14th. And if there's no further business for the commission, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Commissioner Marish, John. He started at 9:15, it's 10:05, so I stand by my 50-minute over-under version.